Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Bob McMurtry. Bob is a first-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and he and I recently connected via Zoom to talk more about his decision to pursue an MBA, what led him to Darden, and how things are going so far in his first year. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Bob McMurtry. Bob, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brett. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
First and foremost, how are you doing?
You know, all things considered, I think I'm doing really well. Obviously, it's tough times for a lot of folks. I'm sure we'll get into my background in a bit, but I'm lucky enough that I live on the campus of an independent high school. And we here, because of our protocols with regard to COVID, of course, we have our students currently on campus. We're tested pretty frequently, which I'm realizing provides a great peace of mind that a lot of folks just unfortunately don't have. So yeah, all things considered, you know, I'm doing okay.
I'm glad to hear that. One of the questions I've enjoyed asking people in the midst of all of this going on in the world is whether they picked up any new hobbies or pastimes. Have you?
When the pandemic first hit, certainly, we obviously didn't have any childcare. So for the first few months, my son and I would go on hikes every day. He's very young, so he just would be strapped to my little baby Bjorn. there's 15, 16 miles of trails on campus, so it was nice to just get away and go hiking. Since then, more recently, my hobby is reading cases for Darden, which is a great hobby, but yeah, that's a fair amount of time goes into that, and of course work and everything, so just trying to balance it all.
Yeah, probably have a little bit less free time than you did prior to the start of the program. I think if you, you know, think about all the conversations we had when you were applying and prior to matriculation, I think if you're someone who reads a lot, it sounds like you're mostly reading cases these days. Are you reading anything else right now?
Yeah, so most of my quote unquote reading actually is, as I exercise in the morning, I have, I listen to audiobooks primarily, and I just finished Dune, the science fiction classic. They're remaking the movie. It's going to be released this year. And of course, my dad is a gigantic science fiction fan and has told me for years, I've got to read it. And I finally listened to it, and it was really fantastic. I try to bounce back and forth between fiction and nonfiction. So right now, I just started Bob Iger's memoir, I guess is what it is, The Ride of a Lifetime, about his time at Disney. So Dune was fantastic, and then I went right back into learning some management lessons.
Well, Dune has many other books in the series, as you know, and I think even Frank Herbert's son may have written some books, too, that sort of pick up on themes, things going on in the book. So there's more you can read. Are you gonna follow up with the series?
It's funny. I am a science fiction fan, and currently I'm also reading the Expanse series. So I'm about three books into that, and I took a little foray into Dune. So I think before I dive into the Dune universe more than just the first book, I'll probably go back through some of the Expanse, because I'm really enjoying that as well. I think both novels, you know, just like great science fiction, a lot of times it's not really about the science as much as it is about society, and sort of how it looks different and how people interact. And so I've really enjoyed that aspect of both groups of novels.
You're right, though, that the movie is for as far as I'm aware, finished. And it's a remake. The first Dune movie it's a beloved franchise. It's always hard to make movies based on books that are so beloved. This one, though, has a lot of stars, and the director is Denis Villeneuve, who, if you're a Sicario fan, if you're a Blade Runner 2049 fan, his name will be familiar to you. And so if Timothée Chalamet, Denis Villeneuve, if these people can't, then I don't know who can. So we will see.
I'm with you. I'm a big Timothée Chalamet fan. He's done some great work. And yes, Sicario and the new Blade Runner were also really great. So I'm excited for it. because of the MGM, HBO Max, issue that sort of arose where everything's getting released simultaneously in theaters and HBO Max. I'll be excited when it comes out to watch it from my couch.
All right. Well, Bob, I could talk movies forever. I'm a big movie fan. Perhaps some of our listeners already know that, but we're here to talk about you, and we're here to talk about your story and how you decided to pursue an MBA. So tell us a little bit more about you and your background. What did you do before coming to Darden, and what are you doing currently?
Yep. So I'm a CPA. I have an undergrad in accounting I got from George Mason University in Fairfax. I started my career in public accounting, focusing in tax, planning and compliance. Stay with me, folks. I know it takes a turn into tax, and folks are like, next podcast. Just kidding, of course. So I worked in tax for 6 years. Honestly, it was a great, I worked at BDO, fantastic organization, really great team. Amazing people that worked, for me, and I got to work for some amazing folks that were mentors. After a number of years, I started to think, manager was sort of my signpost. And once I got to manager, I started to think, okay, well, where do I want to go from here? And as I looked down the paths that were in front of me, the career paths, I decided that I didn't want to stay in the tax field. I wanted to transition. And I'm always looking not for what the next step should be as much as like, where do I want to be in 5 steps? And then I sort of back into where my next step should be. And so my new sort of like overarching career goal, like many in the accounting and finance field, became to work towards a CFO type role. And so I decided that with my, technical background in accounting and with in tax, I decided I wanted to transition and to get more what I call sort of nuts and bolts accounting experience. And so I worked downtown DC for a couple of years at a small firm that did outsourced accounting specifically for small nonprofits. And I just got tremendous experience there. I really loved the fact that the clients were obviously driven primarily by the mission. Met some really great people, both in the organization that I worked for and also at our clients. And I did that for a couple of years. And then this opportunity came up here at my current organization, which is Blue Ridge School. I serve as the director of finance here. It's outside of Charlottesville in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, about 40 minutes northwest. It's a boys boarding school. It's pretty small in size. We have between 150 and 200 students, depending on whether or not there's a global pandemic, which of course changes enrollment. And here I oversee, I lead the business office. And in that regard, I oversee all aspects of accounting and finance and risk management, which is a new one for me. That's my sort of my career trajectory and where I'm at now.
So you mentioned being a planner, sort of thinking 5 steps ahead and then sort of reverse engineering from there. Had you thought about an MBA for a while?
Yeah, so going through in undergrad at a business school with an accounting degree, I feel like folks that are ambitious and sort of forward looking, an MBA as sort of the pinnacle of management degrees is always something that is in the back of my mind. So certainly since undergrad, it's something that I considered. A lot of programs now, they have a 4+1 where you can go get your undergrad and then immediately get your MBA. And I spoke with a lot of folks at the time that I trusted, and they suggested that the MBA, a lot of the value that you derive from the MBA is synthesizing the experience that you've acquired over the year. So a 4+1 wouldn't be as valuable as going back later, which I agreed with and decided to kind of say, oh, well, maybe someday. I went into tax, and most folks in the tax space, an MBA is not really the degree that you get. So while I was in tax, it was sort of dormant. It was just something that was interesting to me, but not something that I was immediately working towards. When I came to this current organization, one of the first things I did with my boss, the head of school, was create like a plan for me, like a career plan at Blue Ridge School to show sort of a trajectory here and levels of experience that I could get and titles that came along with that. And the plan that I put together, eventually had me with that title of CFO. And my boss suggested at the time, who is also a former, or I guess, I don't know if former is the right phrase, but he is a Darden EMBA. He graduated a number of years ago. And he said, CFO, that's great. I see you being a CFO, but I think it's important that you have this, experience of an MBA, at least having MBA coursework. And so after that conversation, it sort of reignited this desire for me. And it's something that I thought about, but the timing was never right. And it's always like, oh, I have this project. And then, my wife and I were talking about starting a family, and it's just, I'll wait for it. But then COVID hit, actually. I did not apply before COVID. Once COVID hit, and as I mentioned earlier, I would go on these hikes with my son. I had a lot of time for self-reflection. And I started to, really think about my goals and what was the best way to get there. And I realized that there really was no perfect time. I was already sort of in the perfect time. I think a lot of folks out there might think I'm crazy that I decided to apply for an MBA right as a pandemic hit. But for me and my family, it really was just the perfect timing, I realized. And I decided that, now is the time to try to scale that mountain.
Well, we've met a number of people over the spring and continue to meet them across the fall and the winter here who are thinking about how to use this time productively. I think the experience of navigating the pandemic, it's perhaps forced people to ask some questions about their career, where they see themselves going, perhaps a good time to gain some new skills, do an MBA program, certainly seeing that. So your story resonates, Bob, and I'm sure you've had a similar conversation with some of your classmates whose timing, at least application timing, was not so different than your own. I wonder what led you to Darden?
Yeah, Darden, obviously such a, renowned, storied institution. I think my interest in Darden probably started when I was in high school, and I just had a lot of respect for UVA as an institution. I did not, obviously I went to George Mason. UVA is a place that I always had, just a lot of respect and admiration for. As I, sort of went through my career and I decided to start looking into MBAs, I at first had come to the conclusion that I would apply to online programs. I thought that, obviously the benefit of an executive format is for me, I think significant, but I was worried about the commitment. But as I did a bit more research into programs, of course, Darden, having the respect that I had for the institution was at the top of my list. I decided that I should consider executive formats. I hadn't sort of nailed down exactly which one I wanted to go to. And I think what really made UVA stick out in my head was when I started to read about some of the professors that are here, some of the research that they've done. Someone who frequently comes up in these discussions is Ed Freeman, his research into stakeholder theory. I'm a person who is really driven by mission-focused organizations. Absolutely, creating shareholder wealth is extremely important for any organization that's, for profit. But those that are able to sort of merge passion and purpose and with profits, I think those are the organizations that are really appealing to me. And to see that idea, having started at this institution, and then, taking that and digging in, doing more research into other professors that teach here, and just being astounded by their, experience and all the different aspects that they offer. I think it was really that aspect that sold me on the Darden MBA.
So we ask a similar question of everyone who comes on the program. What were the learning curves for you as you got started as a new executive MBA student? We always stress with prospective students that everybody has to adjust balancing work life and school. There's whether you've taken accounting before or you have not taken accounting, or whether you have done a graduate program or you haven't done a graduate program. Everybody has a learning curve. And so wonder what your learning curves were.
I'm fortunate that I do have a quantitative background. So, you know, I feel like a lot of folks will either have a large quantitative curve or an other. So for me, it was an other. And yeah, for me, it was really time management. I have a young son. I have a wife, obviously a full-time job. And for me going into this, I had, you know, a fair amount of free time. And candidly, I still do have a fair amount of free time. But I think what, you know, the main thing that I worked towards that helped me to sort of get comfortable here was to be more structured. And so now I have, you know, I sort of mandate myself, I've got a bedtime, I've got to get to bed by 10. And if as long as I get to bed by 10, I'm able to get up by 6 and exercise. And for me, like starting the day with exercising and, you know, sort of simultaneously reading an audiobook, for me is a great way to already, I feel like I've accomplished something. And it sort of sets the tone for the whole day. And then, you know, I've just, you know, of course I had many conversations with my wife as I applied and got in and so on. And we were just upfront about what the expectations would be. And I told her, obviously, that it's going to be a stretch for me, but I will stretch. I want to stretch. And she and my son are absolutely still the priority. But, you know, there are nights when I've, you know, you've got a study for an exam, like we just finished exams for Q3. So, you know, sometimes Darden has to take priority for that specific night, but then I try to make sure that I, on the back end, make time for her. So I guess, you know, in summary, my learning curve was just making sure that I structured my life in a way that I could be true to my values, which was prioritizing my family. Simultaneously not losing, you know, continuing to perform at a high level at work and at Darden.
So have you continued to have those check-in conversations with your wife? That's one of the things that we always stress with prospective students, that yes, talk about this prior to the start of the program, but every quarter you're going to get, you know, new classes, there are going to be new challenges at work, you know, other things that you're doing as a family that you want to continue to sort of plan for and think about. And so I wonder how those conversations have gone. What do they look like?
They've gone pretty well. A lot of it is me asking for permission, saying, "Honey, can I do this?" She is so tremendously supportive. I can't even speak so highly about how supported I felt with her. But you know, basically, we created, you know, we do check in frequently, but we created sort of a rubric. So like, you know, I've got exercise in the morning, work, you know, during the day. 5 to 7, I'm with my son, and then 7 onwards, I'm either taking the night off or I'm studying. The most recent check-in was when I was lucky enough to get nominated for a VP of finance role as a part of the executive leadership for the cohort. It's something that I had thought about, but I decided that I wasn't going to do it. But when I got nominated, it sort of reignited this fire of, you know, and I started to really think about it, and I decided, you know, this is something that I do want, actually. And so I sat with her for a whole day. I kept talking to her and just saying to her, you know, what do you think? Do you think this is a good idea? And by the end of the day, she's like, whatever, you know, just do what you want. Yeah, I really felt I wanted to be careful, because this is something that I did want, but I didn't want to set myself up for a position, you know, that would take a significant amount of time and then force me to again get thrown off with regard to the values that I established at the beginning of the program. At the end, I decided it was something that I could reasonably balance. I threw my hat in the ring and I ended up winning. So I was excited there.
Yeah, congratulations. It's always fun to see, you know, we spend so much time with students on the front end, you know, as people are applying and making their decision, even before that, researching schools and, you know, as they're getting ready to get started in the program. So it's always interesting to see if people decide to take on a leadership role, what leadership roles they're drawn to. And it's one of the great things about the Executive MBA program is that that's something you can do here. It's not just come to class, go home, come to class, go home. It's much more of this community experience.
Yeah, I will absolutely echo that. The community has been tremendous. You know, I mentioned earlier how some folks might think I'd be crazy for applying during a pandemic, but I have to tell you that nothing is further from the truth. Like, our cohort has banded together so furiously There we have a WhatsApp that's, you know, constantly pinging. Some people I got to put on silent for a little while. Sometimes I do, but I try to stay active with everybody. And, you know, there's just been such tremendous support, through all aspects. A member of our cohort just had a baby girl, and he posted that, and there was a lot of course, love and congratulations. So it's so far beyond just like, hey, can you help me with this question? It becomes really, truly a supportive family sort of friendship group that we've all got going.
That's one of the incredible things about your class. We talked about it here on the podcast, is despite the headwinds, right? So you're building this network and you're connecting with people. Certainly prior to the start of school, we were only able to do virtual events starting in March. And in the nature of your program experience, there have been some in-person opportunities, but it's been much more virtual delivery. And yet your class has still found ways to be connected and to build these relationships. And I still believe, you know, at this juncture where you are in the program, just wrapping up quarter three, y'all are still the most connected class that we have ever had, at least in my estimation, based upon just the familiarity you have with each other and the connection, just sort of constantly connected. It seems y'all do a great job of staying in touch with each other.
Definitely. And I think that a number of us have made a concerted effort to stretch ourselves and to put ourselves out there. Obviously, in the traditional environment, after class, between class, you're talking with professors, you're talking with students, you're grabbing coffee, and you're creating these relationships. Absent an opportunity that looks exactly like that, a number of folks have reached out to me, and reached out to a number of folks myself just to say, hey, like, you know, I haven't had a chance to connect with you. Why don't we hop on a call and talk about each other's backgrounds? In the beginning, it sort of felt forced, but then you start to realize it's very comfortable. Everybody's very friendly and very welcoming, and we're all in the exact same spot, and everybody wants to connect and really squeeze the Darden experience for everything that it's worth, which is tremendous.
It's a good point that you make. One of the thoughts that I had, just as we thought about your class and your class's experience, and knowing that you would be progressing at least through the early parts of the program in the midst of the pandemic, is whether y'all would be more intentional about some of this interaction, right? When the sort of quote unquote normal course of the program, I think students sometimes feel like, oh, we'll just see each other and that'll just happen. And I thought from the jump, it's you and your classmates did a really nice job sort of seeking, really making a point of saying, we need to find ways to connect here, and maybe a bit more intentional about it because you were operating in a different environment.
Definitely. And that even started before the program officially kicked off. We were all connected and, would occasionally get together, obviously with, social distancing, and we followed all the guidelines, but community finds a way, and we certainly have found that way here.
So as I mentioned, you're at the end of quarter three, maybe taking exams right now, I think, when we were recording this conversation. How is everything going? How are you doing, Bob?
Well, I just finished my last exam, so I am great. it's going really well. Quarter three was really a very rewarding quarter. It was very challenging, and we had an opportunity to connect with some folks from the 2021 cohort. And, one of the questions is, what's the hardest, and where's the peak of the mountain, and when are we on the going back down the other side? And a lot of them said, hey, listen, quarter three is really tough. Like, you come back right after break, right? You've got that winter break and you're like, fully refreshed. And then you get thrown back in to a quarter with two tough quantitative courses, the accounting two and finance one. And, it's shorter too. It was, I think, six or 7 weeks. So all that sort of, amalgamates to what ends up being a rather challenging quarter. Resumania is also going on at the same time. That's a program that the career development folks put on. So you're trying to balance it all. I am lucky that I do have an accounting background. So I was, probably a bit less stretched than some other folks. And so one of the things that I tried to do, again, sort of in the interest of community and communal support, is I tried to lead some, accounting review sessions, which it seems to have helped. I've gotten a lot of really fantastic comments from folks that have been so thankful, and I've been so appreciative to hear that, and I've been glad to help out a little bit. So yeah, right. I've finished exams, but we are right in the middle of exam period. So I know some of my cohorters still grinding. So keep up the fight.
Well, you know, now you're roughly 30% of the way done, which is always a good feeling. And the thing we talk about a lot with prospective students is how you get this feeling of momentum. You don't have a lot of downtime in the program. You can create some breaks for yourself, you know, wrap up exams a little bit sooner. And of course, if you're not traveling on those global residency weeks, that would be a week off. But nevertheless, something's always percolating. And I'm glad you mentioned ResumeMania here. The career team does an incredible job. We have dedicated career resources for executive MBA students. And it never fails when someone says ResumeMania. The way that I hear that in my mind is in the voice of the French rock band Phoenix with Listomania. If you know their hit from a few years ago, I'm dating myself a bit here, but it was a popular song, Bob.
That's funny, Brett. I have to say, I thought you were going to go another direction and say it sounded like WrestleMania, because that's what sticks with me is WrestleMania. I think it sounds like one of those you know, WWE events. Actually, in accounting two, the very first case was about WWE and compensation, so it helped to reinforce that connection.
Wow.
For me.
You know what? I'll take that too. WrestleMania. I just watched the movie Fighting with My Family, which is based on a true story of a real life family in England. I guess some of the folks who wrote for The Office were involved with this movie. It's a decent movie. Florence Pugh, who I think we all most recently saw maybe in Midsommar, which a strange horror movie that came out last year. She's been in a movie called Lady Macbeth. She was also going to be in a movie with Scarlett Johansson, superhero movie. So doing a lot of work these days and WrestleMania related. So I'm glad we could work that in. So Bob, I wonder if you have advice for our prospective students, anything that you would encourage them to think about.
Yeah, I thought about this a lot. I sort of anticipated a question like this. And I think for me, my takeaways, they may be personal, maybe they'll help your group. But I think the primary takeaway for me is that there's no perfect time, really, other than now. I think that's one of the things that I realized. So as you're thinking, and I was certainly thinking like, oh, well, you know, I've got this project due, and then we're going to start a family or whatever. And maybe I'll think about it next year. It kind of took a... you know, a big change in my, you know, schedule and lifestyle temporarily for me to just stop and think and be more introspective about what I really want and when I want it and how I want to get there. And I just realized that, you know, this time is quote unquote perfect for me, but also, you know, we're expecting another young son in June, and which is going to be right in the middle of the program. You know, work is exciting at the moment, which is another way to say that it's quite challenging. There's no perfect time. I think that the folks that get into this program, you know, they are, you know, amazing, high achieving folks, not myself as much as my colleagues, I think. And I think that they will, you know, sort of find a way to make it work. It is a challenge. It is a timing challenge, but for every aspect that is challenging, there is an equal, you know, greater aspect of it that's rewarding. And so I think, you know, I would say to the folks that are out there that are considering weighing their options of whether they apply or not, I would say just apply. There's no perfect time, and you're going to make it work, and it's going to be a fantastic experience.
I love that point about timing, because we do talk with a number of prospective students who have thought about this for a while and are really trying to find that window where everything lines up, and it's not quite how it works. I mean, it might work that way for some of our students, but for most of our students, it's just like, this made sense to me right now. I knew there was going to be some messiness, but I wanted to get started.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. It's a little messy, but you know, we're all doing our best, and by and large, I think we're all succeeding. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, it's about stretching yourself. It's about personal and professional growth. When you sign up for a program like this, that is sort of a prerequisite. I want to be challenged and I want to grow. And 100%, I have already in three quarters grown. And I've absolutely seen that same growth in my learning team and the rest of the cohort.
Do you feel like you've been able to bring stuff from school to what you're doing day in, day out there at the Blue Ridge School?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I thought that coming in, I would take the sort of the quantitative aspects. I would take the sort of the the technical accounting, technical finance, and apply that. But for me, I was pleasantly surprised that one of the greatest takeaways that I've gotten so far was from the leadership communication course. And it's about managers as storytellers. You think you wouldn't learn about storytelling in an MBA. You would be wrong. We learned, about not only the aspects of telling a great story, but also how, managers, especially successful managers that have mastered this, leadership communication, are really great storytellers. I have an accounting and finance background, and one of the things that I've realized is that I'm a storyteller. It's something I didn't identify as before. As I'm evaluating numbers and looking at variances and trying to present to my boss and other managers in the organization, I'm looking at the numbers and I'm telling a story based on what occurred. So yeah, I mean, there's just such tremendous value in this program. Some of it is quantitative and some of it is non-quantitative, but it's all great.
So Bob, you're involved with your class as a leader of the class. You're taking classes. You got a full plate at home. Congratulations, by the way, on the pending birth. I didn't know about that. I got to come to the podcast to learn new things myself. So I wonder what you're looking forward to in the months ahead.
Yeah, I would say, candidly, what I'm really looking forward to, obviously, birth of my son. I'm really excited about that. And in sort of a weird life twist, the due date is my first son's second birthday. So it is, yeah, just a crazy chance thing. So we're super excited about welcoming him to the family. Another aspect that I'm excited for is a return to somewhat of a normal, life style, I suppose, in with respect to the pandemic. I do work in high school, so I'm lucky enough that I was in 1B for the vaccine rollout. So I have received the first dose. I'm excited about that because that means that Virginia and the rest of the states are moving through the vaccines that they have, and getting them distributed. And I'm hopeful and I'm confident that by the summertime, we will have, a greater number of vaccines distributed and the cases will have gone down enough that folks can, with, careful restrictions, like continuing to wear masks and continuing to social distance, be able to congregate like we had before. And so I'm really excited about that, particularly with regard to being in this program. This first year I think we've made the best of it, but it has been challenging being remote, mostly remote. I have had a couple opportunities, as I mentioned, to meet with my cohort, but I'm really excited on the back end to hopefully have, that typical Darden EMBA experience, go to Sands Family Grounds, see everybody there, high-fiving, we'll be all happy that we're all, on the other side or as far as we can get from the pandemic. So those are the two things I'm really excited about.
Well, we share your aspiration on both of those fronts. I mean, those are both great things to look forward to. And, I think we've gotten a lot of questions from students in the class of 2023 about plans for August. And, we're recording this here in mid-February. And what we shared is we're about 6 months, at least at the point of this recording, from the start of school. We're encouraged by the news and interviews with Dr. Fauci, what President Biden is saying, the vaccine rollout. It seems like, at a certain point, there may be even 3 million shots a day going into arms, up from where we are currently. And so all that is a very positive development, which would, hopefully have implications for what's possible in terms of getting people together. So we share that hope with you, Bob. And I want to thank you for taking time out from a busy day, work week, for the podcast. I so enjoy all of these conversations. It was great catching up with you and really happy for you and your family, all the exciting news, everything going on.
Brett, I really appreciate it. And honestly, it really is an honor to be on the podcast and especially with you. You are sort of a cult favorite among our cohort, as I think you know by now. So it's been a great experience.
Well, I always will feel a certain special kinship with the class of 2022. We spend a lot of hours online together during the summer, quantitative prep courses, mock classes. We were all there. My only regret from the summer is we did not get t-shirts printed up. I have a little bit of sort of personal reveal here. I'm a music fan. There was a part of me that wanted to have a t-shirt that says what a long, strange trip it's been, and then lists all of the classes and dates like they were tour stops on the back of the t-shirt. So if anybody wants to make that happen, I would certainly be happy to contribute.
Hey, I'm going to be building the budget, so I'll have to make sure I create a line item for that. So we'll see if we can make it happen.
That's right. Follow the money, Bob. That's what I understand. So great talking with you. Stay safe and best of luck in quarter four.
You too, Brad. Thanks so much.
And that was my interview with Bob McMurtry, a first-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.